Blog Talk Radio.
Missing roofs, yeah, she love it. Dressing in designer clothes and shoes, yeah, she love it. Know I got a pocket full of blues, and she love it. He can't hit that pussy like I do, and she love it. She love it. She love it. Dressing in designer clothes and shoes, yeah, she love it. Know I got a pocket full of blues, and she love it. He can't hit that pussy like I do, and she love it. She love it. She love it. She know I'm out here thugging, plug my name is out, she buzzing like a bumblebee. Humbly, she say with me she wanna be. I told her great I'm gonna be, but that even the black can see. She like the finer things, designer chain, designer bags, and I'm all popping all kinds of tests. Love when I'm winding down, I ask. We be fine up gas. Exotic what we smoking, get it righted when we rolling. Try my hardest to stay focused, cause a certain parts of her body looking like it's frozen. Got my eyes on the road, but she got my mind roaming. Asked her what was up with dude, she say never mind, homie. He don't do it like you do. Plus that nigga spine phone it. Pull over the coupe, let her go and climb on it. Touch the L's, rock the bells, had to put them chimes on her. Just let it out of wrist, had to put some time on it. Cause she loyal, Uncle Vince, had to spend some time on it. Okay, she wanna be my motivation. My Kelly wrote, my Kelly she into banking, sort of like Frankie, how she set it up. Pinnacles, me and my centerfold. Catch us at the top, money ain't a thing. She know anytime she with the boss. Drop top, missing roofs, yeah, she love it. Dressing in designer clothes and shoes, yeah, she love it. Know I got a pocket full of blues, and she love it. He can't hit that pussy like I do, and she love it. She love it. She love it. Dressing in designer clothes and shoes, yeah, she love it. Know I got a pocket full of blues, and she love it. He can't hit that pussy like I do, and she love it. She love it. She love it, even though I'm the one that clutching. If I say so, she gon' bust it. She gon' say no to a budget. Got the makeup of a duchess as I break open the duchess. I'm amazed by our discussion. She on fuego and I love it. She something like an angel, head halo right above it. I got the mightiest touching. I knew it was going down. Once I was invited up, I run it. Me being lit was the reason she lightened up. And no, I ain't depressed, but my pocket got the blue. I'm mixing up designer, looking like I got confused. She dropped 10 in the mall, it was all in shoe. I told her, get them all, baby, you ain't gotta choose. She lost in the sauce, yeah, she ain't got a clue. Pull up without the top, look like I forgot the roof. It's ball till we ball, fall, we ain't gotta do. Ball, winter, spring, summer, fall through with a few. Drop top, missing roofs, yeah, she love it. Dressing in designer clothes and shoes, yeah, she love it. No, I got a pocket full of blues, and she love it. He can't hit that pussy like I do, and she love it. She love it. She love it. Dressing in designer clothes and shoes, yeah, she love it. Know I got a pocket full of blues, and she love it. He can't hit that pussy like I do, and she love it. Yeah, she love it.
In the building.
The other side.
The devil is a lie. I mean, he done started early with the show. But we here. Mm-hmm. We here. playground, the Don, is in the building, and I myself am
yeah,
me. And this next.
Hey, in the building.
Okay, so somebody got somebody on speakerphone. We got echo going on. I don't know.
I hear the echo.
Okay.
Okay.
You hear it now?
All right. Okay. I don't know what's going on with this.
Yeah, it's still a little echo going on. I hear it.
It is. It's terrible. Okay.
Yeah,
so, It's cool. We're going to rock it like it is because it's just working. Yeah, it's just working tonight. So, all right. You guys, we're going to get into some topics and some different things. This show is going to be kind of different because we're going to be touching on some things that you normally probably wouldn't hear from any of the other shows, looking at the other side of things, men versus women on topics, and a lot of different things like that. So the format of this show will be kind of slightly different than what you're used to listening to from us, but we are going to get started. And the first topic of the night is,
okay.
If a woman wears a skirt that is above her knee to church, is that a distraction? Because this is an issue that comes up in the church all the time about how the woman is supposed to dress. Can the woman wear makeup? Is she supposed to do this and do that? So we're going to get into the topic of skirts at the moment. So Player DeJohn, you can start us off. And let us know your thoughts about a woman's skirt. Should it be above the knees? Is that a distraction? Or is she cool? Or how you feel about that?
Above the knee, I guess.
Are you speaking?
Can you hear me?
I don't hear it.
No, we can't hear.
Can you hear?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, like I said, a man get distracted by not only the length, you know, above the knees. It could be that it's too tight. You know, her bosom might be showing a little too much.
Okay.
I don't necessarily know the appropriate length of a dress.
Okay.
So I can't speak for everybody, but when you go to church, you know, it's not about what a person has on that you should be there for. But some things are a distraction in the church, you know.
Mhm. Okay. We'll go out with that.
Okay.
All right, Miss Nat, what do you think?
This is a good one. I was so glad you got this topic because this is a good one.
I know, right?
So you already know I was raised by my grandma, by old school, and just a slight background. My grandmother, after she left West Virginia, she's married. She was pregnant with my mom. She moved to Brooklyn with her older sister and had my mom. And then, of course, my mom had me, and that's how, you know, I was born in New York. But then later on in life, we ended up moving to West Virginia, which was my grandma's, you know, initial home where she was born and raised. And we were actually living with my great-grandmother, which is her mother. At the time, my grandma wasn't saved. My great granny, though, was very old school, gender roles, all of that. You know, she was all about that. And she was very heavily in the church. And so growing up, you know, and when we moved, you know, later on, a few years later, my grandma got saved and she got into church. So I had a double dose of holiness all through that house. And, you know, my great-grandmother, and I even still stick with a lot of these things now. you know, and this is me personally, you know, my great grandma, how she always explained it when it came to church is you show up and you show out for God. And what she meant by that is dressing to a certain standard. And she was so old school, she didn't even believe in wearing pants. Now, she didn't mind the makeup and things like that because she would slightly wear a little bit of foundation, nothing, you know, too much because she's, of course, she was older. But she would definitely mm-hmm. use a little bit of foundation or whatever. But she didn't believe in wearing pants. And she also didn't believe in wearing anything that wasn't tasteful. You know, so mm-hmm. that's how I was raised. And so I just always kind of believed that, you know, especially when you go to church, you know, you can't help the type of body type you have, but I've always believed in kind of dressing for the occasion. So myself mm-hmm. personally, I wouldn't wear a skirt that was above the knee. I'm not going to look like I'm going to the club to go to church. That's just myself personally. Now, mm-hmm. as far as the distraction part comes into play, people get distracted by many things. I mean, they can get mm-hmm. distracted by your hair color. They can get distracted by, you know, just the way your face look. It's not necessarily just restricted to the clothing you wear. But if you are, but being realistic, you know, people like to look, you know, at things mm-hmm. they see, walk past them. So quite naturally, if you're a lady and you have a short skirt on in church, of course they're going to look. Of course it's going to be a distraction. But, you know, mm-hmm. the distractions aren't limited to just what you have on, though. You know what I'm saying, as well. So,
right on.
You know, just myself personally, I wouldn't wear anything that was above the knee, you know, because I just personally wouldn't feel comfortable. It really has nothing to really do with if somebody's going to look at me or not. It's just more so about my own values whenever I go to church and the way I like to present myself when I'm at church. But, I mean, it's definitely going to be a distraction, but anything can be a distraction.
That's true.
Baby crying can be a distraction.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, so.
But, like you, you know, I was raised old school. Now, they wasn't so, you know, strict on the pants wearing. But when my mama got affiliated with the Pentecostal, the Holiness Church, what we call them, when she got affiliated with
that
those,
was me, honey.
With those people, it was different. You know, they wore the dresses
ma'am.
All the way to the ankle to the church, and that was the only thing that they were going to be considered acceptable at that church.
Right.
You know, and they didn't want the women to wear makeup and all of that stuff. But my mama, she was a beautiful woman, and she was going to always look beautiful. She going to wear her makeup. So that part of it was, you know, null and void when it came to her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But we had some comments, too, online. A couple people commented on it. And Stefan said he don't think so. It depends on how short it is. He said, if that's a distraction. He says, if that's a distraction, then you are there for the wrong reason, which is true.
True.
God said to come as you are, and maybe that's all they had to wear. But on the other hand, mm-hmm. some of the churches will pass judgment on things like this because they will have problems with, but they don't have problems with a gay choir director Anton carrying on. Yeah, so that was his take on it. And then we had Tony came in behind him. And he says it depends on whether she's sitting in the front row with the exclamation point. And I'm going to touch on that, too. And come as you are, he says, come as you are pertains to one's spiritual condition, not physical appearance. And I agree with that, too.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, those were some good responses. And as far as the front row seat, because I'm gonna be honest with y'all, every church has them. Every church has these women that come there strictly for
The pastor.
They come straight
from
the pastor. And they going to wear these little short butt behind dresses with the cleavage hanging all out and sit they behind right there in the front row. So he can look down on them. And a real pastor that I have noticed, a real pastor that loved God and loved his wife will say something. If it continues, he will say something. And they'll get mad, and then you'll see them slowly fade on out the church. And that's probably what you need to do, because you come in there to be a distraction to that man and his household and God. And it's not right.
Right.
And y'all need to quit doing that shit. Now, ain't nobody trying to tell you what to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But you got sense enough to know if you can wear the same thing to the club, you probably don't need to wear that to the church.
Exactly. Exactly.
So whose place is it to say something?
Huh?
Whose place is it to say something to that person?
I'm not
is
saying
it the pastor
place? Well, it's pastor
place. Is it the
place.
Pastor wife?
It's pastor
it's the
place.
Pastor place.
He is the shepherd.
Pastor, I would say.
He's the shepherd of the flock.
I would say.
Now, he can have first lady in there with him if you want to bring it like that. But I think that, you know, he is in the position to address it if it's becoming a distraction and a problem for him and the rest of the congregation. You know what I mean? That's his job.
Right.
Now, if you come in there, you coming for the wrong reason, lady. You need to be going on Saturday night down on the corner at this club and not up here on Sunday.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
And you know what's crazy
is
that I've Go ahead. Oh, I'll just quick. I've never had a male pastor. Like growing up, I've only had female pastors, and they were pretty much already family. So I've never been able to And of course, we've had revivals. We've had pastors come in, or we've gone to other churches. Like maybe once every so many months or something, we might go visit another church. But I've never been on that end of it. I've never been at a church where there was an actual male pastor and been able to, witness, like Tweety said, the ladies that's come in the front trying to be seen. Like, I've never been on that side of it before. I've only been around female pastors growing up.
Girl, I'm surprised. Because it is real. It is real. Like,
I believe
that hard up. They really be that hard up than where they got to do that.
And that's sad.
For some reason it makes them feel something. I don't know what. But I do not personally want to have to stand before God and be like, I was the one that called Pastor the backslide. He was doing good until I came along.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that on my resume. At the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was one interesting topic that I felt like would be something that we could start out on. So, Playground
before
and Dom,
we'll
get into your topic.
Hold on. Before we go on further, let's say, this shows the other side. So, with that being said, what if you have that pastor that doesn't mind that short skirt? Or he would like that distraction, because you got some pastors that is in the pulpit maybe looking for that short skirt, So what's your take on the other side of that?
The other side
that he don't need to be in up there preaching to anybody if that's what he there for. That's the side. Because I mean, if that's what you come to do every Sunday is to sit up here and lead souls to hell, that's what the hell you doing, because you leading your own self to hell whenever you come into church and you're worried about some girl with a short skirt on. You could do that outside of the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
What about the guys that come in with tight jeans or tight slacks? I know some guys,
they
track is so tight that you can read their credit card through their back pocket.
And that's
so the question is, then, what are they really coming to church for, then? Are you coming to church to find somebody, or are you coming to church to hear the word? What are you coming to church for?
Well, you know that.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's all
you
care about.
For somebody, maybe church is where you look for them at. You know, you want somebody godly.
Which is fine. I mean, you know, a lot of people find people in the church, which that's, I feel like that's okay. But what's your main reason for coming? Is it to hear the word and to, you know, be around other Christians? Because I feel like if you're going to church, that should be the first thing. You know what I'm saying? On your list.
Right.
And then if you want to, like, find love, you know, in the midst of all these Christians, and that's fine, but that should be secondary to you coming to actually hear the actual word.
Right. I definitely went to church to meet a man. That's that. A man be the last thing on my mind when I go to church. In a long time, because church has changed for me. I don't like the setup. I don't like what I'm seeing, and I don't agree with it, so I don't go there. And I've come to find out over the years that it is way stronger demons inside of the church than the ones
Absolutely.
I'm dealing with out here. Because they've been sitting up in there so long, and they done got so strong. Them spirits of jealousy and spirits of all different kinds of spirits in there. And when I go to church, my mindset is, okay, I'm going to church. I'm about to pray. I'm going to release all of this pressure from the week. And I'm going to leave it right here at the altar and start my week fresh,
right.
You know, without all of that, you know,
right.
stress on me and all of that stuff on me. That's what I'm thinking about when I go to church. But apparently, a lot of other people, now I know Sister So-and-so, she come to church just to sit there and monitor the room. You know what I mean?
Mm.
She is the sister that can
right.
tell you what everybody had on. And who left with who, and you know, who pregnant now, and all that kind of stuff that don't have nothing to do with religion. And so that's my problem.
Absolutely.
With this church stuff outside of how.
As soon as she get in the car, she calling around. Hey, did you see something?
Yeah. Did you see? Yeah. And she come in here with that big old hat on her head. Who she thinks she is? You know,
right.
all that kind of stuff like that right there. Turn me off from the church, like, period.
Right.
It's just
the right.
whole setup.
Right.
It's completely
right.
contradictory to what the word says that you say you believe
says,
you
right.
go by. So
mm-hmm.
it's
very true.
Conflicting. Yeah, it's conflict of interest with me. But as far as the other side of that playground, I have seen pastors use their platform for the wrong reason. Also,
exactly.
You know, for monetary reasons. I've seen pastors actually stand in the church and tell their congregation that they need jets and planes and stuff. To
oh,
go to
yeah.
the church.
I saw that.
You know what I'm saying? You
yeah.
need millions of dollars. For
yes.
Now, I personally would like to believe that Jesus was the most credible preacher walking. If this story is true, he is the most credible preacher walking. He never requested nothing to fly on, to ride on. Every now and then he'll catch a donkey. Every now and then he'll catch a donkey. But most of the time he was walking on his feet. And you mean to tell me that you're more qualified than him and you need a jet?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So how many times
and then
that,
people will turn around and contribute
paid?
To that.
Right. Absolutely.
So how many
right.
times did Jesus get paid when he was preaching?
I don't recall them saying anything about that.
Right. So why does a preacher is there a payment for preaching the word of God?
Because I feel like...
Well, I'm conflicted on that.
I feel like preachers...
Go ahead,
Tweety. Let me put this in the right kind of words. So I don't want to offend nobody. Certain tax credits and different things like that allow pastors to make certain moves. I personally say you're being
right.
paid not to tell the people the truth. If you stay within these guidelines and you get these tax cuts, but if you step outside these guidelines and you don't get them. And as far as the tithing goes, the tithing has been changed from what the original text meant by tithing to these generational pastors have turned it into monetary purposes for their well-being. And from my understanding is if you're going to preach the word of God, then you preach the word of God and he takes care of you, not the church members. I don't recall reading nowhere where it said the church member's supposed to pay your rent, pay your car, do all that. Jesus was a carpenter. We spoke on that at the beginning of the show. So he worked. He didn't just depend on the church to take care of him and stuff like that. He had his own craft, his own skill, according to the word. So I just, it's conflicting and it's crazy. But Ms. Nat, what you think about this, the taking up of the money at the church?
I agree with you when you said they've taken tithes to another level, okay, when it comes to that. They're not actually doing, you know, exactly what the Bible, if you believe in the Bible, what the Bible instructed when it comes to like that. People, a lot of these pastors are definitely taking advantage for their own needs, their own wants, their own gains. And that's when it kind of when I feel like a pastor is almost trying to turn his church into a cult. When you start talking about, I need money because God told me that I need a jet, and God told me I need a jet to go fly around the world and preach the gospel, and you need to help me do this. I feel like that's when it starts to start walking that fine line of sounding kind of cult-like to me, and I don't like that at all. You know, I do believe that I personally don't have a problem with them getting paid for their time to preach the word. I feel like anybody should get paid for their time. Hell, if I need to get a ride with a friend, I'm going to get a friend gas money to put in the tank and for the time they took to come get me to take me where I need to go. If I need somebody to do work for me in the house, I'm going to pay them for their time, for them doing it. So I don't have a problem with that aspect of it. But when we start going to this, God told me that you need to help provide me this to pay my mortgage or to buy me a new Bentley. Like, come on now. God ain't told you none of that. And then you up here really telling these people these things. And a lot of people just want to be a part of something so bad. They just really have that need to just want, I want to be a part of this because what they're offering me is something special, something that can't nobody else offer me. That just starts getting in people's heads to the point to where they going to do whatever they can do because they want to be so badly a part of something and to feel special and to feel like they're doing something for the greater good of all people. You know what I'm saying? And some people, you know, some people can see straight through it, but other people can't. And when you start playing with people's minds like that, you know, you start really becoming some type of, like, predator to me, like you're preying on these people, and that's when it starts just going all the way left, and then people wonder why, you know, going to church is not respected, because once you go, look at all the foolishness that you're surrounded by, not only by the congregation, but all the way up to the daggone pastor. Like, who want to sit up here and be a part of that mess?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
That's the truth.
Show love, show you right. it's a trip with the church and the way that it has gotten out of hand. And as you were saying, like the pastor say, okay, well, God told me I need this amount of money and we need to get this to put on the church, or we need to get the big screen put up at the church, and I need everybody to pay $500. Listen, I don't have big screens at my house, and God ain't told me that. He ain't told me what he told you, so apparently you and him are on a different line, but you can do whatever you want to do, but I'm not finna go broke trying to do nothing in this building, because the church, I am the church. It tells you that specifically. So this building, I am not. No, we can meet outside. We ain't even got to come in here.
Right. You put up a tent and some chairs.
You know what I'm saying? The Lord provided the light for us. We ain't got to pay no light bill. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we have gotten so far away from God that we don't even know how to start to get back. We done got so far away.
Right.
Like,
I wonder how many churches pay their tithes. I mean, you know, the church itself pay tithes. You know what I mean?
No,
If I'm obligated
to
pay tithes, I'm paying you. So
that's
where are you paying your
tithes? They're supposed to distribute the tithes. And the tithes, what the tithes meant in the Bible back in that day was, okay, back then you had a lot of farmers and different people did different things that the whole village needed. You know what I mean? So if you would bring the extra that your family didn't need to the church, and then the widows of the church and people that didn't have nothing, the poor, they would give what they had left over from what they didn't need from the house to the people of the church. That's what the tithes was for.
Right.
These folks taking up tithes and paying everything except the people that need it. You can be out those and your rent due, you know what I'm saying? And you're going to be out though, because the church that you've been paying into for 15 years is not going to help you pay your rent. And that's a sad thing. It's a very sad thing to me, because you completely done twisted everything around from what you said. So, I don't know. It's a weird thing with the church. The church is a weird thing and topic. But a lot of shit go on in the church, and if that's the truth, that's what it is.
Right.
Okay. Playground is done. We're going to get into another topic now. What you got? What you
okay.
got?
Okay. Let's talk about discipline in households, you know, with stepkids.
Okay.
You have a household, and you have, just say for instance, you got a lady, and she has two kids by a previous relationship or marriage. She's moved on in two different ways. Let's say one way, she married again. You got a guy, and how does the discipline go with that stepchild? Do I discipline my stepkid? Do I wait for his or her father to discipline, you know, the kid? If we're not married and we just living in the same household, am I still the disciplinarian for the kids? How does that work?
I'm gonna let Miss Nat go first, because I already know she don't play by night. So I'm gonna let her answer that.
I sure don't. Okay, so first of all, my experience. Okay, I'm gonna say, so my daughter's real dad really never really been in her life. So the man that raised her, me and him got together when she was 3 months old. And so that's her dad. Whenever me and him got together, I had made it very clear very early at the very beginning that he was not to touch my child. Period. Now, granted, her real father wasn't in her life at that time. She didn't even know him. Like, he's, like, the first, like, male figure she has ever seen and has known to be her dad, right? But still yet, because that's not her it's not even so much because it's not even her biological father. It's just the fact of the matter. Like, you know, you're, you know, a man. Yes, I love you. I care about you. But, you know. Well, I guess you can say it is because he's not her biological father. It really is. It's like, you know, I just feel like he has no right to enter that part of her life. Now, granted, he did discipline her as a father should, but there was never going to be you putting your hands on my child discipline. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't any of that. He would correct her, you know. He would teach her right from wrong as like her biological father was from the very beginning stepping in. But even if you take all of that out, no matter what the situation is, he is not to put his hands on my child because I would fuck him up. I mean, and that's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? Period. I can't even say it any nicer. I just feel like that's, and you got to watch that mess because, you know, me and Sweetie, you know, and, you know, Real Talk Roundtable, we have had a few discussions about these new boyfriends or new girlfriends or new husbands and new wives coming in and then killing their spouses or girlfriend or whatever's kid. Because you're letting that person that has just entered into your life, and even though you may think, you know, you love them or care about them, they are for killing your kids because you letting this person spend all this time around your children. Like, who does that? In a world where you can't trust anybody, you know? So, you know, I don't know. I can go so deep into this, but just no. But to answer the question, no, I don't feel like a step-parent should be, yes, disciplining them, however y'all want to work that out together, you know what I'm saying, as a couple, but putting your hands on that child, hell no.
Right. I'm not familiar with it personally because I didn't have that experience with my own child in another man. Since I've been separated from my husband, no men come around me in my house, to my house, nothing like that.
Right.
My son have never seen men coming in and out of here for me, period. So if he see that shit, he see it somewhere else. He don't see it here.
Right.
And that's just my personal thing because I don't want him growing up thinking that this is how women supposed to behave because it's not. You know what I'm saying? So I don't allow all of that to go on at my house. And so I have not ran into that problem. I have seen situations to where it basically depends on the relationship between the child, the step-parent or the boyfriend, fill-in, and the father. Because sometimes when men can be men and they not on that jealousy stuff and they can see that this is a real respectable man and he not going to just be doing something to my child, you know what I'm saying? Then he'll give him a right or a permission to be like, oh, yeah, you cool, man. You know what I'm saying? You taking care of my daughter, you helping with my daughter, you know, and they have grown men conversations about stuff like this. So I think it really depends on the relationship between all parties involved. You understand what I'm saying? Because some fathers don't want to be fathers, and they just don't want to be it. And they don't really care who's filling in the gap, looking at the other side of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they don't
care at all. So, Playground,
what do
you think?
Well, I don't have kids, but I was raised in a single parent household up until I was like, well, my mom raised me up until I was like 15, and I moved in with my dad. I wonder how does the respect, everybody discipline kids different. So I wonder what does the line of respect goes with the discipline of the kid. You know, because you got some kids, man, they are like out of control. They wild, they, you know, some of them, like you said, dads don't want to deal with them are not in their life, and then you got this guy that come. Okay, you eat my food, you taking baths and with my water, you using my electricity, and then I can't say anything to you, you know, or put you in your place. Where did that line of respect comes in if I can't discipline you? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right. I see.
I know.
So I don't know exactly what my point of view could be, being that I don't have kids, but like I say, you know, somebody got to have the say so. And then, like, if we go back to last night, we talked about the son being the head of the household, you know, a single parent household. But then you meet this guy, and you not already tell the son, well, you're the head of this household. And then you bring in this guy, and maybe you get married, or he start living with you guys, or you start living with him. Now you have told your son he's the head of the household. Now you got a competition of the man that is footing all the bills as the head of the household, but you got a son that's looking like, Mom, you told me I was the head of the household, so where do we go from there?
It's a tough cookie.
That's okay. Did you see that video that time? I know you did. I can't remember how it started off, but it was a dad. He was the original dad, and he was married to this lady. She was a stepmom, and there was a teenage daughter, and they were just treating her so bad on the camera for whatever she had done at school. She was acting out or doing something at the school. And the woman slapped her and all that stuff on the camera. And she
in the garage.
What you call a mom end up getting her? What's his name? The rapper. The rapper with the pretty eyes.
I know. I saw
what's
that.
His name?
Yeah.
His mom.
Oh my God! It's on the tip of my tongue.
I know.
I saw that she got in.
She got I don't know, guess custody or foster care or something she got. She went and picked that girl up.
Walker Flocka's mom.
Walker Flocka. That's his name. I can't remember.
Flocka's mom. Debbie.
Yeah.
Auntie.
Yeah. She went and picked her
up. She sure did.
And they did a lie. And I was happy to see that she was with somebody and away from that situation. But it was like, this was a stepmom that was treating this child like that. And the mother was not around. And the things she was saying, like her mom didn't care about her and stuff like that. I couldn't understand how a man would allow his wife to talk to his daughter in that manner about her mother, not knowing the relationship between those. That was so disrespectful to me, and I felt like he was just a henpecked man, and that he just did whatever his wife said, whatever, you know, pleased his wife. And I don't like situations where people put their spouses ahead of their kids in certain situations. Like, I guess it goes back to the order of the household, how you run your house, because everybody runs their house different. But I don't run my shit like that.
When it comes to having, like, when it comes to you dating and then you meet someone who has kids and then you end up, you know, knowing that that's the person that you want to make it official with, that's when these conversations need to be had, especially during, like, the whole dating process. Because, you know, a lot of people just, like, choose to, like, talk about things that are pretty, like, superficial and really not important. But something like this about the topic that Playground even brought up, like, you know, people need to sit down and discuss that aspect of it. Like, okay, so I know you have children, so when it comes to, you know, if we are going to be living in the house together on our way to getting married, like, what do you want my role to be when it comes to your children? You know,
that's a very important question.
And I feel like, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of how it went with, you know, Naya's dad that raised her. Like, we had a big conversation about it from the very beginning, because in my situation, it was a little bit different because he came into her life at a very young age. So she grew up to think at first that that was who her father was. So so it's a little bit different for me, you know, because he was there from the beginning. So, but at the same time, he let me know during our conversations, like, look, you know, I'm going to let you know now. Like, I'm not even the one to really step into, you know, that aspect of raising her. If I have an issue with anything that has to do with her, I will come to you and let you handle it. And then you mm-hmm. can kind of delegate, you know, from that point on what you're comfortable with as far as my role. And everything mm-hmm. worked out fine because we talked about it from the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's important. Yeah. Communication is everything. It is.
It really is. It will save a whole lot of problems.
What's going on? I saw a post earlier today. I don't know how true it is or whatever. What's going on with Lil Wayne? They talk about him doing 5 years of fat time for something. What do you do? Y'all know?
The gun, it was an old charge from, like, I don't know what year. It wasn't anything that just happened. It was something that happened a few years ago. And actually, when we were on the show last night, it had popped through my phone. I was kind of glazing through it, but I didn't get a chance to really read the whole entire story. But I do know it's from a prior situation that already happened a few years back. And I guess now they're just, like, actually indicting him on all of it. Something having to do with a gun on the plane that was in his luggage. And you already know he's a felon, so... And then some other charge. Yeah.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
But, again, right. These people think they be above the law when they get a certain amount of money, you know. I'm above the law.
That's exactly what.
Nobody say, you know.
Not necessarily right. above the law. They just feel like their money can buy them out of a lot of things that mm-hmm. they go through.
Yeah. It's crazy.
By the way they actually worded it, I thought it was something that had just happened. You know what I'm saying? At first, the way
right.
that the article kind of read the actual headline. Then when I got to reading, they talking about from 2017, 16, I don't know, a few years ago. I was like, what? So we probably already heard about the situation. We just forgot it happened. And he's just now actually getting indicted for it, basically.
That's crazy. I was just wondering because I had saw that earlier before we came on. I'm like, shit, what Lil Wayne do? I know Miss Nat know.
Money can do a lot, though. Listen, T.I. got caught with guns and he was failing and didn't do any time. So I guess money has a lot of play in a lot of things.
Yeah,
it
depending
really
on where you are mm-hmm. and who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of dirty
right.
talk. Yeah. There's a lot of
and
dirty
who you
judges.
Know.
Lawyers,
and who you
dirty,
know, yeah,
grieving calm mm-hmm. people.
When you, mm-hmm. when you got money mixed with like knowing people that can get shit done by hook or by crook,
mm-hmm.
you can get past a whole lot.
Yes. Okay, now this is a kind of weird type of question, but I'm just gonna throw it out there. Okay. If you manage to survive the apocalypse, okay, say all of that, the worst of the worst doesn't happen, what do you think your post-apocalypse job would be?
Well, we're going through that now with the COVID.
You think so?
Yeah. The COVID has killed over a million people.
So I guess
we're
going to be hosting radio.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
I don't even think people probably would be working jobs if the apocalypse were. What you going to do? To be on the
right.
cleanup crew? I definitely don't want that job. Mm-mm.
Right.
I don't want that job at
That's
all.
That's crazy.
All right, you guys. Now
right.
we're gonna. I'm gonna try something that I've never done before. So this is me new. This is something very, very new. If it loaded, I'm gonna check and see if it loaded. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. So let me see. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna play something for y'all, and I just want to see if you can visualize what I'm playing for you. without you actually seeing what is happening. If you can get a feel for it without seeing it. So this is kind of like a listening party type of deal right here. So we're going to get into it right now.
Okay.
And I want everybody to listen and see if you can follow it. Here we go.
Take the A train to go to Sugar Hill way up in Harlem. If you miss the A train, you'll find you miss the quickest way to Harlem.
Hurry, get on now, it's coming. Listen to those rails are coming.
All aboard, get on the A train.
This is our Abraham. We're having a wonderful day.
You will be on your way to Harlem.
Good luck to the Storch family.
Take your baby to Harlem. You're bound to find
Earl Frederickson. Just one of the 49, I guess, about 49 are on here. How many? 42? Well, that's 52, that's what they say. Okay, but I never had so much fun, so I've never got a sit hung in a ringer.
This is Pearl Wickersham, and I really like to go into a wingding, but I have to have Helen Larry here to just inspire me, so because they're not here, I'll just turn this over to somebody else.
Bill Shelby speaking. I feel about it just like Earl Frederickson does. I think it's a lot of fun out here in a million people.
Yeah, if you're looking for a rhythm, you'll find it on Sugar Hill.
What will it be tonight, Mrs. B?
Child, just give me a double shot of gin.
You're trying something different tonight. Trouble in Paradise?
I really wouldn't call where it is paradise. More like Trouble in Death Valley or some totally freaked out shit like that. Mm-mm. Don't laugh. It ain't funny. Nah, I need you to pour me that drink.
Okay, I'm pouring.
Thank you.
Beatrice.
What is it, Nate?
You don't have to seem so excited.
I don't see the feds outside your door. You know why I don't see them out there, Nate?
Why?
Because they are outside of mine.
Calm down. When can we talk?
Oh, I thought that's what we were doing.
I mean in private.
Well, I'm down here at Daddy's, if you want to come down here.
Be there shortly.
Yeah, whatever.
Absolutely. I believe that there are plenty of people who have influence who are just waiting for somebody to say, will you be my mentor? I think that there is no better compliment than having somebody ask you that.
That is so true. Black folks need to listen to this show. They know what to say. Oh no, B. What have you done now? I hope she's in here somewhere. Thank God. I thought you were being arrested. The cops are out front.
Well, unless having a drink at the bar is a new crime, I don't see your point.
Of course you wouldn't. Anyway, Mario said the meeting went well.
That's good news. I'm so ready for this to be over with. And when it is, I'm taking a long vacation.
Take me with you.
Mm-mm. Nope. No baggage.
So rude.
Oh, well.
Hey, bro.
Yeah, man.
Hey, bro. Dude said you on in like 10 minutes.
Now that is some valuable information.
Yeah. Jeff ass up there now.
Fuck Jesse Jackson, man. Fuck you mean.
You need to hurry up, though. Bruh, I'm hungry as hell.
I gotta be out myself. I got shit to do and people to see.
I wonder what's taking my drink so long.
Jones. I told you I was done with this lifestyle.
Yeah, okay, I know what you said. But I need this favor. Like, you know, I don't know how else to put it to you. I need you to do this. Like, this is a solid.
The things I do for you. Man, this is the last run. I mean that shit.
Oh, mwah. Some way by the gate, some way by the water.
Crocodile tears and the kids to the slaughter. Okay, now, I know it's going to be some confused people out there in the world, but what I'm thinking about doing is taking all of my tunes and converting them over to audiobooks and displaying them in an audiobook form, and then they can find the cartoons in visual form in different places. So I'm just thinking, and like y'all know, This was not a recording done specifically for that, so it's a little off, ups and downs and stuff like that. But overall,
right.
I want to get you guys' thoughts on, do you think something like that could work being aired on a network? So, Ms. Nat, what you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all for it. You already know. I'm all for it.
Right.
It can absolutely work.
I feel like if it's formatted the right way, correctly, and we all have proper mics that we need to record, I think we can pull it off, and it can be really, really good without the visuals. So
yes.
It requires for us to just really get into a person's mind, and that's where I like to live, in the person's mind. and we can get in there and work. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, good thought. Okay, Playground,
I'm all for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can do anything you put your mind to. When you first started playing that music, you told me to go somewhere in my mind, and it took me to, I was like, man, I know she ain't playing this song, because, you know, the ice cream truck got that song, and then it was like, man, you should get the background of what goes on with that song, and it took you back to that watermelon thing with the Negroes and stuff like that. So I was like, man, I wonder if she's trying to play that to make me think about the old time, you know, then it, you know, it went on and on, and I was like, okay, well, you know, it was something different, but... Yeah, I think through Christ you can do all things. So if you keep your mind focused and on the, you know, fast and pray, and I think you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you put your mind to.
I think it's possible. At the beginning, if you were watching the tune, you would understand it more. At the beginning, that is where the all of the credits are rolling, and the people who are in it just popping up the name, and there's like a 1940s feel to the actual tune that's playing. So that's why you have that music, and that's actually a black group. I can't remember the name of the group now. Back in that time, that was doing really well. And the funny thing about that video, and it's not funny, but in the video with these black guys that were singing this song, and I wish I can remember their name, but I can't think of their name right now, but you can tell that it was filmed in the older times, because every single black female that was in that video was light-skinned and damn near white.
Wow.
It was no dark skin or fair skin, went like none in there, period. Everybody in there was extra, extra light that was in that video. And I was like, wow, I can understand the struggle and the separation and how things took place the way that they did, because I'm quite sure it was a lot of beautiful black women that could have been in that video. Not saying that the ones that were in there were not beautiful women, because they were. But give us the variations, because black people are more than just light-skinned. There's all different colors and shades of black. You know what I'm saying? And you could just tell in that era what was really happening. So it gave me a little bit of my history to find that music to just put on there. And everything is commercial. We ain't getting paid for nothing, so don't nobody try to sue me or do no good. So so it was an experience for me, and I just wanted to try it out on y'all because this show is different than the other shows that we do, and I was just throwing that out there to get y'all's thoughts on that. And we're gonna play one more song, and we're gonna come back and give you guys our information and let you know how you can find us and follow us and all that kind of good stuff. And we'll be back in just a few minutes, so don't go nowhere.
Yeah.
gun, good friend. You see the stars come down to meet you. You look like the last time. Let a new day come and greet you. Stuck in your ways, stuck in your mind. Stuck all the time in there, out of that room, especially mine. Used to be fine, I swear I was confused. Used to be blind. That was a moment in time when I thought of you. Now I'm on mine. So say hey to everybody. Yo. Tell them I love them, it's good. The side of the globe. Is everything like it should? Man, I don't know. But for everyone that thinks they should go, if you say that it's over, if you say that it's over,
a shame, it's a terrible waste. Beautiful mind, that was a moment in time when I thought of you. Now I am fine, no matter what.
Playground of Dawn, everybody. You can follow me on Instagram, playground_82. You can catch me at Facebook, Marcus Thomas. But if you really want to find me, 402 South 9th Street, Opelika, Alabama, Durant's Car Care.
That's what's up. I know that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Miss Nat.
Okay. Y'all,
know, right?
Well, even though I'm not really on Instagram like that, but I need to reboot my Instagram. So y'all got to give me a little minute. Give me a little minute.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on there at Ms. Nack. That's MIZZNAK. And my government name is my Facebook name, and it's too long to spell for y'all right now. So y'all
okay.
can just go to my Instagram, and you can access it through there.
That's right. And you can find Tweety Bird Central on Instagram at Tweety_Bird, BYRD_ Central. And find and follow us over there. You can follow me at Tweety Bird, BYRD334. And y'all make sure y'all follow all of us and follow this good stuff we got for y'all because we got more coming. All right, good night to you, and we love you.
Right.
And thank you for tuning in.
Good night. See ya tonight.